At the NEFB Washington Watch, I am visiting with Bob Dineen, Renewable Fuels Association. Bob, we got a bunch of farm broadcasters in here this week. Interesting time when you consider the farm, where we're at with the farm bill and Senate House right now. Anything in this these versions of the farm bill that relates to renewable energy, for example, that is kind of on your radar?
Well, there will be an energy title. At least the Senate is contemplating an energy title. And we hope to be able to have some funds in that that will allow USDA to continue to make funding available for blender pumps and do some other things for future technologies. But it's not a big focus of ours. We've got our own fight right now with the renewable fuel standard. So we're following the developments of the farm bill. I will say this, though, that the Congress would not be able to be contemplating the kind of farm bill it is with such a dramatic reduction in farm program costs were it not for the ethanol industry. And I think that's lost on some people these days. It used to be that the price of corn was far less than the cost of production. And it was government farm programs that would make up the difference. And some years it would and some years it wouldn't. But it was an expensive proposition. And one of the things that Congress intended with the value-added ethanol industry was creating a value for farmers that would allow them to reduce farm program costs. And it has done exactly that. And so many of the same members that today are squawking about how awful the RFS is are the same ones that don't want to be paying farmers not to produce and don't want to be paying these high farm program costs. Well, folks, if you're going to create a marketplace, you know, then the folks that have benefited from years from subsidized feed, the cattle guys and the poultry folks that have benefited from, you know, being able to purchase corn below the cost of production, they're going to squawk. And that's what's happening today.
Well, you mentioned the renewable fuel standard. I, you know, have been following this industry, ethanol, renewable energy, for a number of years now. And I guess maybe when I first saw some of the attacks back several years ago that, you know, the food versus fuel, which is a tired old myth and things like that, that maybe that had all toned down a little bit. But, oh, my gosh, I mean, here this past year, the rhetoric, the misinformation, and I think just sometimes flat-out lies that are told in regards to the RFS, what it means, what it does, it's just at a level I just have never seen something like this.
Well, I think the level is commensurate with the size of the industry, right? When we were a small industry, it didn't much matter that much. But we're 10% of the nation's motor fuel today, and we are a significant component of you know, the grain marketplace. So, you know, it's not too terribly surprising to me. I hear nothing new, however, and I do think it's interesting that the more the facts support our case, that it is not ethanol driving food price inflation, that we're only using 3% of the world's grain supply and none of the food grains like wheat or rice, when people understand that only 16 cents of every food dollar goes to the farm. And what is really driving food price is the volatile and increasing price of gasoline, diesel, and energy. So the more the facts support us, the louder the detractors get. And I think they believe that they can outshout us. And, you know, they can use their bully pulpit and their microphone and their advertising dollars to ignore the facts on the ground. Well, that may happen for a while, but ultimately, even the United States Congress wants to look at the facts. And when they do, we prevail.
Well, where are we at right now? I mean, I know there's calls to repeal the RFS and or maybe to change it or what have you. Where do things stand for people who absolutely seem to be lacking real information on what it is, what it's supposed to do, what it's intended to do, and the fact that this is not just a one-time we pass this thing and it's all done with. I mean, this is to cover a broad period of time as we move forward.
Well, you know, I view this as an opportunity to educate folks. More than half of the United States Congress was not around in 2005 when the renewable fuel standard was first passed. So they don't understand why it was or what it is and what it's doing. And I view this as an opportunity to tell those folks, look, in 2005, we were 60% dependent on imported oil for our liquid transportation fuels. And today, because of ethanol, because of the renewable fuel standard, we're only 40% dependent on imported oil. That is a tremendous success story that would not have been possible without this important policy. And let's talk about some of those other issues. Let's address how ethanol has revitalized rural America. Let's talk about how ethanol is reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Let's tell members of Congress that ethanol is 60 cents cheaper than gasoline today. It is driving down the price at the pump, and it is the only thing that we have to provide any relief to consumers in this country. We can frack till kingdom comes, but it's not going to reduce the price of gasoline, because below $100 a barrel oil, those investments don't pencil out. So, you know, they need to understand these issues. The House Energy and Commerce Committee has engaged in a process that I think is designed more to understand the issues than to railroad legislation. They've started with a series of white papers. We are responding to them. The first was on the blend wall. The second was on the impact on agriculture. They just released another on what are the environmental impacts, and there'll be a couple of more. So it tells me that they're really just trying to understand what this is all about. After those white papers, they'll do some hearings, and it'll give us yet another opportunity to put a finer point on some of these issues and to make our case. After that, we're told they will take a look and see if there's consensus as to whether or not there can be any legislation. They've not made a decision to legislate, but I doubt they're going to find consensus, because the oil companies are saying, no, no more. You got to repeal the program. And we're saying this program makes sense. It needs to be continued. There's not a lot of consensus there. So, you know, I remain confident that this program is going to be maintained. I also am very certain, however, that the fight about it will continue.
So looking ahead, your outlook for the ethanol industry
is bright but turbulent. You know, we're going to continue to face battles here in Washington, D.C. There's going to continue to be some uncertainty of what the future of the program will be, because the oil companies will spend enough money to create uncertainty. But they can't spend enough money, they cannot convince enough members of Congress to repeal a program that is having the kind of success that this program is having.
We know where to go to get that voice that will be louder than any that the oil industry can fund or come up with, and that's going to be the Renewable Fuels Association. Thank you very much, Bob Dineen. Visiting here at the Farm Broadcasters Washington Watch, I'm Chuck Zimmerman.